This podcast is part of E2C Network, where we share the whole Auburn experience.
David Housel described it best. We are living the whole of the Auburn experience. No matter how you quantify it, you qualify it. You can define it through a variety of different places, times, people, and experiences. But at its heart, at its core, it is all about Auburn sports, Auburn culture, and the Auburn family. And because it's about Auburn family, whether they're sick or not, you got to have them here to talk about it. That's me, the sick one on the broadcast, Kyle Loomis, your host. And alongside me, as always, is my good friend and in chair number two, Mr. Austin Scott. Welcome back to the show, sir.
Thank you, sir. Welcome back to you. Hope you're doing a little bit better than we talked yesterday for those wondering why this is coming out on a Tuesday.
Yes. For those of you that think I sound like a chain smoker, don't worry. It is only temporary because we are definitely recording a day earlier so we could both figure out a way to do this without sounding too tired, too worn out, too sick. And this is the best that we could pull off for y'all. But we did it. We made it. Episode 74 is here. And we got plenty to talk about. It's another reason why we didn't even just skip this episode. We never skip an episode, but delay it by a week. Because we didn't want to like miss so many big things. So many of you know where we're heading with that. We will get to those in the big topics. But as always the case, let's talk about Auburn Potpourri. All those little bitty things that we maybe don't want to spend a whole segment on, but we need to talk about. This is actually one coming from one of our live viewers, and I'm so glad they brought it up at the beginning of the show. Let's talk about it at the very start. A little bit of news for Cam Newton. It's always good when we get to talk about Cam, mostly. Yes. You know, he's still a revered figure in our minds, even though he acts a little bit crazy from now and time again. He appeared on, I believe, Shannon Sharpe's podcast. Is that sound good?
I think so.
Sound good? Yeah, maybe. And he was being discussed. He was discussing being questioned about his time at Auburn, but the scam Newton that surrounded him here and pay for play and all that kind of stuff. And so what we brought to light, if you haven't watched that full interview, he gave his perspective on things and we don't know all the facts, right, Austin? We can only go off of what was said to us through that interview and what we've been able to gather when that event was actually a big thing. But essentially, and I'm assuming you either watched the whole thing, Austin, or at least saw the snippets of it.
I have seen snippets, yes.
He said the ones responsible for starting all of the mess were Dan Mullen and his wife. Your thoughts?
Yeah, that's what I gathered. And I think that allowed, all right, not what I gathered, that's what he said. And what a lot of kind of reporters were allowed to kind of then therefore say that they're part of it and kind of that's always what they'd heard, but not something that anybody wants to really go for without the hard facts and surrounding it. But hey, Cam Newton, when it's something said about him, he has no problem saying who he thinks the culprit or the guilty party was. So that's very interesting, if we're remembering it all, because we're coming up on, next year will be 15 years since that whole issue. There was a whole argument or a whole allegation put out that Cam Newton's father was asking for $180,000 from Mississippi State to come there from JUCO, which, by the way, $180,000. Think about that in today's world when we're hearing about NIL. That's right. Nothing. And so then it was, in the middle of a championship season for Auburn, it's like, well, if Mississippi State said no, because he's not there, what did Auburn pay him or did they oblige? And so that it tainted in some eyes a whole special season for Auburn. And Cam says that at the time, head coach Mississippi State head coach Dan Mullen and his wife were the ones who started all that, which is fascinating to say the least.
Downright shocking.
And so it doesn't really surprise me, not because I think Dan Mullen's a shady guy or anything. I think he has some of that characteristics to him. I don't know him, but that it doesn't shock me for those reasons. I think we would be surprised on how many of these quote sources are actually the people directly involved themselves. So I think because it's just like out there, it's more of a shock than it actually is.
Yeah. It's interesting that it came back around as late as it did. And Cam's opening up about it now. And he just confirming what all the suspicions were. And again, it is his side of the story. We can't sit here and have Dan Mullen, not that he would actually oblige. Of course, we did call him out that one time in an article and it actually got asked in his press conference, but
yep.
That was a banner day for E2C Network.
Sure was.
We did not get by name in that press conference, but when they asked about the article, anyway, that's another story for another day.
I forgot about that.
Dan Mullen is always been a bit questionable in a lot of people's minds, and unfortunately for him, Cam kind of confirms a lot of those theories, but at least Cam's getting to have his say now. Let's talk about some local stuff here real quick. I don't know if you saw this, Austin, or not, but I always like to throw in, especially when you and I are talking a lot these days about things changing in Auburn. We have our crotchety old men segment.
Yes.
Change and everything's changing in Auburn. And we even last week talked about something, you know, that, or maybe it was two episodes ago, going away.
Coming back.
Auburn Art, which is one of those local downtown shops that even if you don't go into it, you see inside of it, you see the logo out there.
It's just
one of those staples. And I saw a big post coming from them and their owners, and I was like, oh no.
Uh-huh. Me too.
Here we go. There's another one, and the Boo Birds are gonna come out.
That'd be a big one.
That would be a big one. I believe I bought my graduation frame from there.
That'd be a very big one.
That'd be a very big one. They are not going away. However, they are changing ownership. And I don't have their names of the previous, I guess, still current owners, but the future owners right now to give them credit. But in a world of where you and I get to complain, and along with many others, about Auburn changing, this is one of those times we're actually like, hey, look, a little change is good, you know, just in terms of it continuing with different owners.
Yeah, no, I'm the same way. I thought the same thing with you that, another lease is running up, another rent is coming due, and someone can't pay it. But I was really thankful to see that it's sticking around, similar to Byron's in the last year. It's just getting new ownership, someone else to take it on. And I did want to look at this because, Kyle, I don't know. I'm just going to say right for the fact I don't know, but it seems like it might be not too far of a stretch because I remember seeing the owners, and it's the Hares. And
I thought the same thing.
Cliff, Emily, Logan, Jackson, Loki, Hare. So Cliff Hare should resonate in the Auburn world. I don't know the relationship there. I think that's really cool if there is a relationship there. That would seem not ironic at all if there is a relationship. But congratulations to the Hares on, I'm sure, being able to finish out that sale and being able to do something for the past 13-ish years, I think, really successfully. And glad to see that their legacy kind of will live on by a new owner and hopefully bigger things to come for Auburn Art.
Obviously, I don't know them personally, but it's either awesome that the Hares own that, they're future generations, but if it isn't, it's one of the most awesome coincidences ever. So if you don't know why that's a big deal, you'll have to go look up your Auburn history and Cliff Hare and why that's important, Jordan Hare Stadium, all that kind of stuff. Let's talk about this. This is a really good news for women's basketball. We talk about this a lot, Austin, about sometimes big steps that this program is taking. We built this story up in previous podcasts about, first year is about finding your foundation, had a big win or two that one. Your second year is about making some type of postseason play. We did that. Your third year, you would hope you make the dance. You did. And now we've not even started the fourth year. Let me just tell you how we're starting it off. We just Coach Johnny Harris, her staff, her team has pulled in a former McDonald's All-American and SEC All-Freshman, Talia Scott from Arkansas, to come and basically, I want to say replace, because you can't replace, honestly, Scott Grayson, but you can try to with one of the leading scorers, not just in college basketball, but from the SEC. What big news for Coach Johnny Harrison Co.
Yeah, no, unbelievable. I was shocked when I saw it because I was like, is she coming off injury? Is there something? 20 points a game in the SEC as a freshman. I'm like, okay, but she's a junior, senior now. She's had some injury troubles. No, just transferred from Arkansas last year, put up 30 points against Auburn. 30 points against multiple other SEC teams throughout the regular season, and has transferred and committed to play for Johnny Harrison, Auburn. Mm-hmm. I loved what she tweeted. I think it was yesterday. She wasn't looking for somewhere that's established. She wanted to be a part of someone building something. That is Auburn women's basketball right now. They are, like Kyle mentioned, we have talked about the trajectory they're on and how well they've been able to follow the path of a successful program. Talia Scott is joining that, and that is super exciting. And I'm just being completely honest with you, Kyle, there's not been much where I've been like, oh yeah, you know, super excited about Auburn basketball that would get me to the point of men's or football or things like that, because it's been a long road since the glory days. While it's been good to see the trajectory, it's been, you know, it's been a slow climb. That really excited me when I saw that. And I think that that's someone that can really energize a program and be the face of a program with someone that can score like that. And so I can't wait to see Talia Scott on the court in Neville Arena. You know, those Scots, they're just special people. They really know what to do in an Auburn uniform. So she's destined for greatness. There's no doubt about it.
Would you call her a Scott's tot? Is that what?
Yeah, we'll claim her.
We'll claim it that way. That's what you want to do. That's fine with me. Yeah, big news. I saw the social media post the night before, and I was like, hey, this is going to be good. And boy, they did not disappoint. Very quickly, at a Round Out Potpourri, I want us to talk about spring sports, the big ones, baseball and softball. You know, to say things are going well for baseball right now is lying. It ain't good. I think we've had, what, two SEC wins, maybe a third. I'm missing somewhere.
Just two.
Two, yeah. Yeah, it's I don't know what else to say about it other than the pitching is just not there this year. The batting is, and unfortunately it's going to be at the one of those years. I'm not throwing in the towel, but I am starting to realize the reality of what's going to take place likely this year, and I hope that something can be salvaged from it. I just don't know that it can, Dawson.
There's certainly a path still.
There's always a path with Butch Thompson in control.
The path is getting bleak each SEC series. Now, look, the thing I would say, if we're going to sunshine pump here, is that you have played the top four teams in the conference the past 4 weeks. Mm-hmm. And that is nothing to sneeze at. Now you have not been able to steal many of those games at all. You know, I was out of town this week. I was following along with that Saturday game, Friday game.
Friday. They're doing a lot of these Thursday.
I know.
It's throwing everybody off. That's the reason we're struggling.
Yeah, I agree. Well, whatever the one where we blew a 7-run lead, and I was like, I had just seen we're up 7-0. I was like, good. We're not going to get swept. We figure something. And then next thing you know, it's 13-7. And I'm like, oh my gosh. But
same reaction.
It's one of those years. I don't know what to say about it other than the pitching's not good. Don't know who that's on. Don't know who's going to take that mantle. It's probably a bunch of all parties combined.
Butch has been very forward and said, you know, this is on me. I'm known for pitching, and this is my job to get this done, which, you know, you'd hope every coach says and verbalizes and acts upon that. And he will. Look, this is not an indictment on this team and this program right now. You win some, you lose some. And unfortunately you're losing a bunch this year. And it's just kind of how it is. I do want us to give a shout out to women's softball though, because this is a year where they could phone it in
as opposed to men's softball.
Thank you for that. They could phone it in with their head coach retiring and stuff like that. But sure. No, they go on the road and take down highly favored LSU in LSU and get a series win down there in fine fashion. So got to give props where they're due, especially for a softball team that's had a very up and down year this far.
Yeah, it's kind of one of those things where it's like, did the retirement announcement energize them and sort of give them something extra to play for? We don't know that. We don't know any of that, but it certainly seems like they're not throwing in the towel, like you said. And so that's mm-hmm. exciting. We have mentioned it multiple times. The SEC tournament will be in Auburn. So there's much to play for, much to hope for in that sense. And they're on the right track to continuing to finish the year strong.
Yep, definitely like the way that they're fighting and they're playing for Coach Mickey Dean right now. That's going to do it for Auburn Potpourri. We now want to move into our main two segments. We are going to talk about Auburn roster, Auburn men's basketball roster moves. And then, of course, you know what you were going to talk about here, Auburn and Nike. But first, we're going to talk about our friends at Magic Mind. And as we have talked at the beginning of the show, Kyle was all about needing energy and focus this week. When I was sick, when I was just down in the dumps and just couldn't focus because I wasn't feeling great, you got to turn to certain places here. You can turn to all these energy drinks and things like that. They're going to make my symptoms worse. Well, let's be honest here. Our friends at Magic Minds are the ones that you want to go and take a look at for alternatives to energy that are going to be a healthier option for you, that are going to be more friendly if you have special diets out there. We've talked about this before. If you are vegan, if you're keto, if you have an allergy to nuts, if you need a low sugar diet, these other energy alternatives out there, these energy drinks, they're just not going to be as good for you. Why don't you visit our friends at Magic Mind? You can go to our link, magicmind.com/Auburn, and use the code AUBURN. You can spell it out as you're typing it in and get that 56% off a subscription or the 20% off a one-time purchase. Again, that is visit magicmind.com/Auburn. Use that code Auburn for 56% off the subscription or 20% off the one-time purchase. We're still talking about basketball, folks. When Bruce Pearl is in control of your program, there is never a time that you shouldn't be focusing and thinking about.
Which he is still in control of our program.
Oh, is that news or something? Because I was told Kentucky was coming for him, or that they didn't really want him, but they'd take him. If they wanted him, they would go get him. That's how I understood it, right?
Well, they're all really hoping that they – This is not the Kentucky show, so I won't get into it. But
oh, man, what a world it is for Kentucky fans. Let's talk about the roster, because that's where these days when a season ends, mm-hmm. you start spending a lot of your attention and time on.
Immediately.
This is just us as fans. We're not even talking about the coaches, right? We're just talking about our speculation of it. You and I have talked about on previous episodes what we've already known is started to transpire, some anticipated departures from the program. First was Katie Johnson. Trey, I also believe you and I talked about last week on that one. But what we haven't had a chance to discuss, and maybe let's start there, was at least to this point of us doing this, quote unquote, a final departure. I'm not saying there won't be others, but the one that everybody, at least a position, people were anticipating some changes to happen. And that is Aiden Holloway. McDonald's All-American, had a great start to the year. Didn't really maintain throughout the rest of the year. A lot of people were, you know, up and down about him. He departs, leaving Auburn at least true point guardless. Were you shocked? Were you worried? What do you think, Austin?
I was more shocked at Trey, but I'll say it that way. I thought that it would be probably one or the other. But when Trey was first, I kind of was like, it could be both of them. Mm-hmm. And that's what ended up happening. I don't think Aiden had been around very much since the end of the year. And it was looking like he had decided that he was going to search for playing time elsewhere. Aiden was had a lot of pressure on him this year, had a lot of high hopes for most. And look, adjusting to college is hard enough for an 18-year-old kid. Adjusting to Division I basketball is even a step further. So I really hate it. I really think Aiden Holloway, I think guards at that size and guards that highly ranked end up showing that down the road, when they're that good of a shooter in high school, it takes them a couple of years, but down the road can end up being a 15, 17 points a game shooter. I think Aiden can be that. I think he probably will wherever he ends up. That's just my opinion. And so I hate that he wasn't able to stay and get developed, whether it was Auburn's choice or his choice. But you know, that is the world of college sports right now. You can go whenever you want. And I think Aiden will have plenty of suitors. I kind of hope he gets back closer to home. I think that'd be good for him, and there's plenty of great options there. So I hate it for Auburn, and I hate it for Aiden. It seemed like a really good match even a year ago, but hopefully they're both able to be better off.
Yeah. And I would advise people, you know, remember how high you were on Aiden, and remember now. And so when you start applying this to people that are arriving as freshmen or transfers, maybe give them some time and let's see how things work out before we treat them like the next Cam Newton of something. I agree. I think Aiden is a very rare talent and eventually will get whatever he needs worked out with a shot, whatever. I have a feeling we may be seeing a little bit of a Davion Mitchell where he was just was trapped in a group of talented guards in a lot of ways, maybe weren't necessarily checking the boxes where we needed in guard play, but found his fit somewhere else and then rose to the occasion. And Davion Mitchell actually got drafted and won a national championship with Baylor. So hopefully it's not at Auburn's expense, but we'll wish him well. There is bad in the transfer portal. And there is good in terms of even outside the transfer portal. The next bit of news, I think it was the next day, Mr. Dylan Cardwell, Mr. Auburn himself, is coming back. Yeah. That got me hyped because we talked about, you know, not just, you know, changes in guard play, but we need to maintain this presence, this dominance, this power, which was our big man play. And he is not the starter yet. It will, you know, we'll debate that in a second. But Dylan Cardwell is coming back to secure us in that area, not just in energy, but his play has elevated since he has been here. I was so excited to hear him say, I'm coming back for another year.
Yeah, no, I had hoped and was optimistic that Dylan would be coming back this year. I think that with how much he loves Auburn, how much Auburn loves him in return, it looked like that was a possibility. I think he is the last class with a COVID year.
We think.
I can't keep up, but I feel the most confident I've felt since in tracking this that Dylan's the last group. His freshman year would have been 2020. So, or 2020 to 2021, I think. See, I don't know.
So anyway, it gets confusing.
His best year last year is going to be great to have him back. Will he be the starter? Will he be a backup again? I don't know. I think he's okay with that, or he wouldn't have announced he'd coming back if he was waiting on other individuals. So we'll see. I'm thrilled to have him back. I think Auburn University's campus is thrilled to have him back.
Oh, yeah.
So good luck. Guess what? We'll be having more shirtless videos of Dylan on the Jumbotron here in just a few months.
I love this kid so much. He just embraces everything that is Auburn.
That video?
We'll talk about Auburn video crew making me tear up with every homecoming video. Mm. Woo! Yeah, I'm telling you right, I'm looking in the camera. I know there's audio only people, but I'm looking at the camera. Auburn video, if you do not have Dylan Cardwell do some type of homecoming video for football season next year in his what will be his final year, you have not done your jobs. And that's me saying that you do your jobs every year of making me cry. So you challenge thrown out, I guess. Maybe they'll accept the challenge. Dylan Cardwell coming back. Huge news for Auburn. Probably the biggest news of the week is a brand new point guard, and most likely I would say a PG1. Point guard one coming in, and that is Mr. JP Pegues, if I believe I'm saying that right. Not too far removed from football, having to say that one a lot.
Yeah.
But your new point guard by way of Furman, JP Pegues, your thoughts?
Yeah, JP Pegues, one of the best players in the SoCon last year. A lot of coaches thought he could have been the player of the year in the conference. I think, truthfully, that's good for Auburn. He wasn't, because it wasn't a been as much of a battle to get him. Fits really well into this Auburn roster. Obviously, he's the only point guard on the team right now.
True point guard.
But, you know, I think that he's a veteran. He's got years of experience, has NCAA tournament experience, and has played with high-level teams and will get to be a part of a talented roster as it stands right now and could be. So I'm excited for JP Pegues. I think he looks the part of an Auburn guard, and I am pumped to get to watch him. I think he has every bit of potential to be the guard play Auburn's kind of been lacking in the last couple of years. So we'll have to see. It's going to obviously my biggest thing with transfers, doesn't matter what sport, is always cohesion. Auburn, especially if you've watched any part of the Auburn basketball team the last couple of years, it is a big deal on how closely knit and tight that team is on and off the court. Bringing other personalities into that always is a potential threat to that. But with when these players visit and they come out talking about the family atmosphere and how much they see it evidently, I think we'll have no problem. So I'm looking forward to how JP Pegues enters this guard room and can take Auburn to the next level.
He has the ability to score with Furman and at their conference level, but just in college basketball in general, will that translate to Auburn, to SEC play, to big time, like true every single night you're playing big time power conference basketball? Only time will tell, but the pedigree seems to be there. We know he can make big shots. If you remember from two seasons ago, that dynamite shot he knocked down in the tournament to upset, I believe it was Virginia.
Destiny.
It was just written in the stars. It only took an extra year to get here. So we'll see if he can maintain that. So as a final point in this conversation, we've talked about what we know, what could be. We obviously know that we've lost 2 point guards, so I think we can make the fair assumption that another guard is going to be brought in some fashion. Tahad, who's coming in, can play point guard, but Bruce is insistent that he will play off the ball a lot.
Right.
Denver can play point guard, but I think he has flourished outside of maintaining point guard responsibilities. And I think we want to keep that. So it looks like I'm just going to make this step out and say we're probably going to go find a point guard somewhere to fill in somebody who's wanting to make that step up, but maybe isn't ready to be a starter yet. That's just how I see it. The big one, will Jahni Broome come back? Where do you stand on it?
Yeah, it's the biggest question left, right? I think that it probably affects a lot of what Auburn does left in the 3-4-5 positions in the portal. Now, the thing with Jahni is that he has declared twice, right? Like he has declared once after Morehead State before transferring to Auburn, once after his season at Auburn last year. Both times has decided to come back to college. Rules state, if you do it a third time, if you declare, you are gone. There is no coming back. Doesn't matter if you have eligibility or not. So that is where we're at. If Jahni announces, you know, we can close the book on Jahni in college, Jahni at Auburn. I think that it is probably Auburn or Pro. I'm sure there's teams all around the country that would love to have Jahni Broome in the transfer portal and are probably making that known through different channels. However, I think it's probably Auburn or the Pros. I would imagine Auburn's going to have to figure out a way to pony up and to make that last year worth it for Jahni in terms of financially. My gut says he's coming back. I have nothing to go off of that other than what my gut says. I just feel like him seeing what Auburn's doing, they're not just losing guys. They're being aggressive and getting other guys to come in. Pegues is a natural scorer that will help Jahni spreading things out, giving him
take attention off of him.
Yes, giving him more opportunities to not be focused on and to not have to be the guy. And so I think he comes back. And if he does, Auburn is in for a very nicely set up year next year. Still has to all come together, still has to all be capitalized on, but my gut says he's coming back.
Obviously, that's the questions that remain. What other positions will be filled that have been vacated, a guard potentially, and will Jahni stay? And if he doesn't, obviously that gets this thing whipped up again, and then we'll probably have a second conversation about this. But that feels like the final piece. But for now, we know that Auburn, yes, has lost some very fan favorite and very promising future guys, but is starting to fill those needs with JP Pegues, retaining people that we needed to retain, or we retained the big one. That remains to be seen. If this wasn't the biggest...
It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
News in the world for you, then I promise you it was the biggest news in the world for one Clint Richardson of the Auburn Uniform Database. Auburn and Nike are official, technically, as of July of 2025. We have done a deep, in-depth discussion with Clint about the ins and outs that you need to know about this. But that doesn't mean we're done talking about it. We're going to talk about it. I know Austin's got opinions that he wants to share, he wants to discuss, but do go check out our conversation with Clint Richardson. You can find the live stream format, the audio format on our podcast. It's everywhere. Go check it out. But I want to give the floor to you to start off with, Austin, because I've gotten the opportunity to talk about this a lot with Clint, myself, on various live streams. So people are very probably familiar with what my take on this is. Let me hear your thoughts, Auburn and Nike official as of July 2025.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I was really excited. It's kind of where I thought things were headed. I think it's what the majority of people have assumed was coming ever since this Under Armour deal kind of approached its ending or approached its end of exclusive negotiation period. Right. And so I wasn't shocked by it. I wasn't super, you know, caught off guard. It is something I was excited about because I think it affirms to me and to many others, Auburn is still that sought after product. It is still that sought after brand, by many, especially a company like Nike and a company that has numerous amounts of teams already at its disposal. Auburn is still one to be valued. I totally get the concerns about, is Auburn just another fish in the sea with Under Armour? They were the cash cow and the goat. But I think that Auburn at some point needed to get out of their apparel deal, something that they wanted and not just kind of as one-sided as it felt like with Under Armour sometimes. I think a lot of the coaches, I've always stood on, if the coaches want it, that's what I want, because it helps their job. It makes them more successful, then Auburn's more successful. It felt like that was kind of their opinion. Nike was their way they were leaning. So I'm excited about it. I'll be honest. When I was in Colorado this past week and visiting my brother who works at the University of Colorado. University of Colorado is a Nike school. We went to their bookstore and their team shop, and I was like, man, all this Nike stuff will be Auburn's here in orange and blue in just a year's time.
Not that gold and black, you know.
Not the gold and black. But so that was cool to see. I like wearing Nike. I think their shoes are great. I think their shirts are great. It's a good fit for me. And so I'm excited about it. I mean, my wallet is not, but I'm looking forward to next summer. And you mentioned Clint, I think it was more of a reason. It wasn't a surprise to me because Clint has been on top of it for the past, decade?
Since birth. Since pretty birth. Much. Came out of the womb just like saying, Nike.
Auburn will have Nike at some point. Gaga. And so
weird images in my head, and now I can't get them out. Thank you for that.
Is he wearing a flat bill in your image?
Is he wearing it?
Because he is in mine.
You can't make me laugh while I'm sick. Okay. Thank you for that.
Anyway, to kind of end that, and on a random note, congrats to Clint and his network, his website, on such a banner day, and even his own media tour. It seemed like he is the person that has been waiting on this and has been on top of it. So congrats to you, buddy, and we're all going to be continue to tune in to you as this next year unfolds.
Yeah, you know, I know we call this his Super Bowl, but his work is not done. I would like for us to talk about the pros and cons of this.
Yeah,
because we talked about the facts with Clint, and a lot of speculation there. That's better served for him. But you and me need to talk about that. And I think we're better served here because I find myself not on the negative side of this, but I actually preferred Under Armour for a variety of reasons. So let's talk about those angles. You brought up one. Auburn moving to Nike brings you into the fold of a lot of teams.
Yeah.
And part of a big thing there. When you were with Under Armour, you were one of the big dogs. It was Notre Dame and you, pretty yep. much. I mean, yeah, Maryland is where their founder is from, but come on. Maryland's not really relevant in any of the big sports right now, so it's not that big. So it's Notre Dame and Auburn, and some would argue maybe Auburn in some ways could be on even playing field with Notre Dame. So I guess in your mind, which one, I don't know if this is the right way to ask this, what's the better option there, to be the bigger fish in the bigger fish in the pond or the smaller fish in a bigger pond? Like,
yeah, it's a good question. I think that was probably weighed when deciding to leave. I'm sure it was at Notre Dame too. But I think my concern with if you stay is, and like you said, this is probably more into Clint's area, is why are so many people leaving? And why is Under Armour kind of struggling financially and things like that? And so I don't want Auburn to get caught on that. If something, let's just say, something happens and Under Armour goes belly up and we're stuck with whatever scrambling, that would not look good for Auburn. It would not be good for Auburn and its student athletes and its coaches. And so I think that there is probably a sense of security with Nike, and they're not going anywhere. I think we all pretty much know that they're established enough that seem to be trending at the right direction. Now, look, I mean, what? When they signed this deal with Under Armour, it looked like they were the next up-and-coming thing. They were going to be battling Nike for decades, and it's kind of turned the other way. So anything can happen, but I would imagine a sense of security is kind of the feeling with even though you're smaller and you're among all these other teams that had to play a role.
I think that's where I was going to go next. I'm glad you brought that up. That kind of almost negates. I would say if you talk about pros and cons, it is a con in a sense to not have – to be just another school amongst all the other ones and a lot of the big schools too. But stability, security for the next 10 years –
right,
you know, technically 11 because we're not in the deal yet, but we know that security is coming. And so when the next 10 years comes around, who knows what happens? I doubt that you'll be switching back.
I don't see that.
This is what people clamored for, but who knows? Maybe there's the next up and comer that Auburn wants to take advantage of. I like Auburn being different, setting trends, and utilizing that. In fact, one of the things I brought up is that it's hard to differentiate yourself from your big rivals when you don't have something different to offer. And especially when some of your biggest rivals are offering the championships right now, you know, that's sure. a big differentiator there. So that one I'm going to kind of put in the con, but I also acknowledge that pro of you have that stability, you have that moving forward. This is one that's, I think coaches will say it, rational people will tell people this, but some people will not be convinced. I want to hear what your take is, that this somehow is going to magically just save Auburn recruiting as if it was already bad or something like that. Where do you put that in the pro column, con column?
Yeah, the only way I see that argument is with AAU and basketball tournaments. Mm-hmm. It's the only area that makes sense to me because certain brands put on certain tournaments and their coaches are allowed to come to those because they have – it's one of their, I don't know, rights or – perks of being a Nike or Under Armour or Adidas school. So with that, I get that. I think NIL and transfer portal era has kind of changed, leveled that because there's more power in the student athletes or recruits than there ever has been. And so if they want to talk to somebody, they can talk to somebody regardless if they're at their AAU tournament. I mean, for crying out loud, it seems like they've all got agents now. And so I don't think that's as much of a concern. I don't see that with football. I don't see that with soccer or track or
baseball. See, that's what most people think too. Correct. Is that somehow this is going to magically make football recruiting just hit the roof. And I'm just like, folks, that's such a naive way to think.
And I think the only thing I think a big thing that kind of lit the flame on that narrative more is seeing all these former players to be like, oh, we couldn't stand those Under Armour cleats or all this. But like, how many, just please bring me one example of someone committing to Auburn and being like, yeah, I just love Under Armour.
But Austin.
I'm going to go the other way though and say, please tell me one example where someone was like, I just really want to go to Alabama because they have Nike. Like, I know that we want to act like this matters in the gear and that these kids want it. But no, they're either saying, I want to play for Coach Saban, or I want to win, feel an Auburn family atmosphere. Like, I've never once heard of an apparel deal come up with these recruits, these kids recruiting. Like, it's asinine to think about, and it doesn't make any sense. Well, it's just dumb to think that that actually matters. And then we have coaches like Coach Freeze, who's gone on record to say, I've never had – this has never come up with me in recruiting. It has never been something –
put it out on social media this week, folks, if you need proof.
That is a Power 5 SEC top 15 college football program coach telling you he's never had an issue with recruiting. Now, and I would like you to compare that to a coach who in the past at Auburn said they did have issues recruiting and why they're not here anymore.
And why they don't have
they have a job.
He has a job. He has a stuttering backup, but it took him a while to get another one. He had to sit under Calipari's wings forever. Yeah, if there's any – so the best example you can have in terms of putting that in the pro column is for basketball.
Right.
What's Auburn been lacking since Bruce Pearl got here? And he's been doing it with Under Armour. So even though I've just fought this being a pro, I'm still going to put it in the pro column. So I don't want to be petty. I want to be fair because I agree with you that I can see the slightest benefit. But if you're still carrying this torch that recruiting is somehow going to be maximized, I got some land under sea level that I want to sell you. So let's talk after the show. Anyway, I think that's most of the pros and cons. If you cut down to it, the biggest pros, I think, and we don't have the financial figures in front of us. And I imagine
think that'll matter. That'll be interesting to see.
If that ever comes to light with some of our media people doing, freedom of information, all that kind of stuff. I think that played the biggest factor, but I think the stability is the biggest pro. And I think the biggest cons are going to be not differentiating yourself. And then, is there some negative recruiting effect that was going on? So what I think we've built here is that the pros were just too strong to not go with Nike, even if you're someone that is like me who preferred Under Armour, because I'm not unhappy. I'm just disappointed because I liked us being different and unique. And that's what I value in, the Auburn experience.
I think that's totally fine. Let's put it this way. And I think that this adds into the stability and, what was the other word we used? Security.
I like it.
If there was an alternative that was on the same level as Nike, and no, I don't think Adidas is, I would have preferred we go with that one because it's different, right? And so I totally get that. Can I ask you what something you are excited about Nike Auburn partnership is? Like, is something
that I'd be excited
with? That excites you, Kyle, as Auburn going to Nike?
That it brings our big boys back into the fold in a sense with their partnerships that they already have. Bo, Barkley.
Yeah.
To me,
absolutely.
So we want to talk about pros. We'll talk about like buzzwords being the pros. We talked about financial. We talked about security. Let's talk about synergy.
Yeah, true.
I mean, that's it. I mean, I think that's the big ones right there. It kind of completes your big people, your big voices out there who now are also going to be able to be utilized more properly. Now, we do leave Cam behind.
For sure.
But I think Cam's doing just fine on his own.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, how many times over the past, 5 years have we had Charles Barkley go on record to say he wants Auburn to go to Nike?
Well, Charles needs to go on less records, to be honest with you.
Well, he does.
I love him.
He does. But it doesn't hurt to have him now completely aligned. I do not like when they go on game day and have tape covering up whatever they're wearing just so they can wear Auburn gear. That's a good one to have. Security, stability, and synergy.
It's like we planned it. We actually didn't, but that was just a little bit of workshopping that happened.
You people think we plan?
We don't. We plan a little bit, but not that well. So somehow we pulled it together. So there you have it. Our thoughts on Auburn Nike, the pros and cons of it. We'll sit back and wait for this year to pass, and I'm sure we'll there'll be some other things to talk about, financials and all that, and we'll break those down when and if that information comes to light. That's going to do it for episode 74 of the Auburn Experience podcast. We thank you all, first of all, for your patience with us getting this episode out. And I think my voice has gotten a little better since.
I think so too.
I think it's kind of cleared itself up a little bit. And as I'm probably going to have a cough.
It was the cough.
To end the show, it's probably going to have a coughing fit. Let's see if I can get out of here before that. If you want to find me on X at KyleLoomis24, where can they find you, sir?
At Austin G. Scott on X, on Instagram, on whatever else.
And thank you guys for tuning in, hanging out with us, and being part of our little family. Until we talk to you again, War Eagle.
War Eagle.